ASML is a very important company. It occupies what we could call a bottleneck in the technology world, and I think this is why it's getting so much attention.
The Dutch company is mainly interested in dealing with the government concerning anti-migration policies, because the Dutch company relies a lot on foreign talent, and therefore, if right-wing policies continue to apply in the Netherlands, this will have repercussions on the ability of the company to recruit foreign staff.
So I think the real question for ASML management is to decide how to rearrange its production facilities in a way that services its customers as well as serve the needs of its workers.
You can, well, have some thoughts on that, because China really have a very open policy towards the tech immigration. For example, the Shenzhen local government provided them many of the convenience. If a company like Huawei, they say, okay, I want to hire someone from abroad because they have some unique strong suit technology that we need, and then they will provide them like working visa. And also, they will give the big companies a special designated land with low price.
The Chat Lounge.
Chat Lounge.
Chat Lounge.
The Chat Lounge unpacks views and opinions on hot issues in a more casual way.
Welcome to the Chat Lounge. I'm Tuyen. Joining our discussion on the likelihood of ASML's Dutch exodus are Andy Mock, a senior research fellow at the Center for China and Globalization, Dr. George Zougopoulos, director of EU-China programs and senior research fellow at the European Institute of Nice, Dr. Qu Qiang, fellow of Belt and Road Research Center, Minzu University of China, and William Li, chief economist at the US-based Milken Institute. It's a great pleasure to have you all on the show, gentlemen. So the Dutch government is having intensive talks with Advanced Semiconductor Materials Lithography, also known as ASML, the country's largest tech company and the world's top manufacturer of chip-making machines, to stop it from moving out of the Netherlands. So let me begin with Andy. We've often heard the name from the media over the last few years, especially since the U.S. stepped up its containment efforts against China in technology. So can you first tell us a little bit more about this company? Like, who are the major investors and why has it been attracting so much attention?
Sure, Tuyen, and glad to be with you guys today. So I think to start with, it's important to understand what exactly is lithography and why is it so important. So the easy way to understand this is if you think about like a movie projector that takes a small image and makes it large, what ASML does is the exact opposite. It takes a relatively large image and makes it very, very tiny. So it reduces it to nanometers, which is a billionth of a meter. So there are a billion nanometers in a single meter. So it basically uses light to make very, very tiny projections. And these projections matter because they're used to create semiconductors. And ASML is not only the leader in this space, but it has a virtual monopoly in that it makes the machines called lithography machines that allow patterns to be etched or drawn onto semiconductors. And without this technology, we would have none of the amazing devices that we use in our lives today. So ASML is a very important company. It is, it occupies what we could call a bottleneck in the technology world. And I think this is why it's getting so much attention.
Right. Thank you for the explanation. It makes it easier to understand the importance of this company. And to George, ASML has sounded the alarm. It may move operations out of the country or expand further in other countries if there are no substantial improvements in the political landscape. So are you surprised, and why is this happening now?
Well, it's important to look at the Dutch political landscape. And there was an election that took place before Christmas. And this election witnessed the victory of the far right-wing party in the Netherlands with strong anti-immigration policies. Plus, it is important to mention that it was unsure whether a new government would be formed and under which conditions. So within this framework, the Dutch company decided to negotiate with the government about the terms concerning the anti-immigration policies as well as taxation policies. And taking into account that still the Netherlands is unable to form a government, and it seems that the winner of the election will quit his ambition to become a prime minister, there is some uncertainty concerning the future of those negotiations. But what we need to focus on is this, the fact that the Dutch company is mainly interested in dealing with the government concerning anti-immigration policies, because the Dutch company relies a lot on foreign talent, and therefore if right-wing policies continue to apply in the Netherlands, this will have repercussions on the ability of the company to recruit foreign staff, plus taxation policies, because the current government is not giving the incentives that the Dutch company is wishing to receive.
So you're not surprised at all?
Well, I'm not surprised because this is a normal process in terms of negotiations between a government and a company. Mm. So I'm not surprised about this. I would be surprised about a potential outcome of the negotiations that would see the company to make radical decisions. But about negotiations themselves, I'm not surprised.
Right. And what about William?
Yeah, well, I think we shouldn't just focus on the immigration issue, because I think the Dutch government, as well as the debate here in the United States, is about legal versus illegal immigration, the type of immigration. I think everyone in the Netherlands would be happily wanting to receive well-educated, high-skilled labor to come work at ASML. I think the other thing that has caused ASML to want to leave the Netherlands is that the infrastructure just isn't there to be able to house the expanding company. The housing and education facilities and other things are being strained. So I think ASML is finding that it's outgrowing the Netherlands itself in terms of its needs for its own laborers and workers and such. But I think the other thing to keep in mind is that if ASML were to truly think about leaving the Netherlands, where would be the natural destination? Is the question for me would be, is it Europe? Or is it to move closer to its customer base? And what, 40% of ASML's customers are in Asia, at least their intermediate customers, and their final customers are in all over the world. So I think the real question for ASML management is to decide how to rearrange its production facilities in a way that best services its customers, as well as serve the needs of its workers.
That's a good point. And we'll dive deeper into this issue later on in the show. But to Dr. Chi, observing from China, what's your first response to this news? Do you feel to any extent surprised?
No, I think, stupidity can be very contagious. Well, as an observer, I used to, watch from a very close distance about Brexit. Mm. At that time, the narrative before the Brexit is, a lot of, ordinary people in the UK, they're complaining. They're saying, the borderless policies in the European Union are actually, bringing more of the immigrants from Spain or from Eastern Europe. So they complained that those immigrants, holding a working visa, or they don't even need a working visa to work in Britain in the first place. They allegedly take away their rights to serve the table in a scrub toilet. So they don't want it. They think they take away their benefit and salary. So they voted for Brexit and then drive away those, overseas workers. Then they find out it is because those, immigrant workers, so they bring down the whole cost of the social operation and work, so the UK citizen can enjoy a rather decent social security, even though they're not working or in the gap year. But with the immigrant worker gone, and then they have to, scrub the toilet for themselves for sure, and then they're not happy because they find if they are doing it themselves, right now, the basic price level in the UK are more than 50% up. In some other areas, it's even more. So this is just we're talking about ordinary jobs, labor-intensive jobs. Mm. And talking about situation in the Netherlands, This is a, well, to another extent, it's another story, because it's not even the job about ordinary people. We're talking about the top-notch, high-tech jobs, which means even if you want to hire local people, but very, very limited number of local people can be qualified and competent for that kind of job. So you need globalization, which means the talents from other countries to help you to do that. It does not take away ordinary people's job opportunity. And also, when such a high-tech company stayed in Netherlands, they pay legal tax. So this tax can be translated into the social welfare or social protections for the ordinary, you know, Netherlands citizens. It's a very good thing. But extreme right-wing parties are, you know, using people's, you know, anger or dissatisfaction towards many social agendas, than to vote against the profit of their own self. So I think this is kind of pure stupidity, and I think this kind of thing should be better stopped by now.
Three of you actually talked about the importance of talents from outside the country. But Andy, actually, according to reports, there are about 40% of its 23,000 strong Netherlands labor force are not Dutch citizens. So from your perspective, are they really that indispensable and irreplaceable?
Well, that's a good question, Chu Yun. So I'd like to go back to William's point about immigration. I think it's a little bit more complex in that we have to consider an entire talent pipeline here. So ASML's employees are very international because their skills and their experience is very, very specialized. But what makes the Netherlands appealing is that they traditionally have had a very open education system, attracting students from all over the world who come get a technical education and sometimes stay and work at companies like ASML. So the problem is, if you cut off this talent pipeline, this can have a devastating impact on technology companies that rely on talent. And here I see actually a parallel with the United States, because we see what the U.S. is doing with Chinese STEM students, so science, technology, engineering, and math, in that it's making it difficult, if not impossible, and making many of these students feel unwelcome, that we may see similar problems for companies like NVIDIA, AMD, et cetera, that also rely on technical talent to grow their businesses.
Right. Apart from the, I think as George mentioned, various factors that lead to ASML's decision, like the unfavorable taxation policies to the immigrants, I'm wondering, are there any other factors you think would be major impetus or a driving force behind this? Maybe to each of you, Andy?
Well, I would say that, you know, what ASML is doing is actually not unusual at all, because, again, this is, as we heard earlier, a very common negotiating tactic, whether you're looking for tax breaks, right, investments in infrastructure, et cetera, for companies to say, look, if we don't get what we're asking for, either in terms of new things or changes in laws or policies, we're going to leave. So I think in this way, it's no surprise at all. ASML, again, is an enormous, I think it's something like 20%. I don't know if I have the statistic right. It's like 20% of the Dutch stock market, market capitalization. It's a strategically important business globally. It confers an enormous amount of prestige as well on the Netherlands. So I think from this perspective, ASML is actually in a very, very strong position.
Right.
Can I interrupt here?
Sure.
And let me maybe the question you're asking is what else other than labor might make ASML consider moving?
Right.
And as I said earlier, I think the other constraints would be things like housing. ASML itself is located in a very relatively small town, and the relatively high workers at ASML and their growth have really pushed up prices tremendously, and the social tensions that are being caused by those who work at ASML and those who don't work at ASML are really getting difficult, so that I think the social tensions themselves the government is finding it hard to satisfy housing needs and the higher costs of living in that area that's generated by ASML. So I think the real issue is, will the government want to subsidize ASML to the point of building more housing and more schools and improving the transportation facilities in a way that will allow the ASML foreign worker to want to stay? And Andy's very right to say that it's the pipeline that's very important, but it's not just the beginning of the pipeline of attracting students through education facilities, but keeping them there, but providing them a good way of life so that people would want to stay in the Netherlands and make a career out of working at ASML. And that is something that the government and company are having to negotiate. And so it's not just a big company leveraging the government, but really it's the government trying to assess the strategic role of ASML in its own national priorities. And I want to disagree with what Andy said about the difficulties in the United States. We have had some immigration issues, but most of the issues are regarding the illegal immigrants who are relatively unskilled. The United States has always welcomed highly educated foreign workers and foreign students, and that welcome mat still stays very wide open for Chinese and, you know, citizens of all over the world. When I was at Citibank, all of my colleagues, half of them come from different parts of the world, and all of them managed to get the H-1B visas to stay because their talents are very important.
But things like housing issues, it's not like the immigration policy they can change like overnight. You know, providing some housing for so big workforce, especially at a time of high inflation, is very difficult for the Dutch government, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's hard to turn this stuff on a dime. But I think that the whole issue is the government really making steps to be able to provide the housing? I mean, you know, housing in some ways is relatively easy to build if you're committed to doing it. The United States, you know, during World War II, built all these GI housing for the soldiers coming home, and it created a housing boom, which helped employment as well. So if the government were committed to providing the infrastructure needed to retain the workers of ASML, it certainly can do it in a relatively quick period of time. And even making the commitment is sufficient to assuage some of the difficulties of losing talent.
But can we say to some extent, it seems like the Dutch government is held hostage or by ASML, given its importance, in the tech world, William?
Holding hostage is a strange way of putting it. The question is, as for national priority, is this company important or not?
Right.
And if it is, then it would become a national policy to want to keep it there. It's the same question you can ask Taiwan. Is TSMC important enough for you to give subsidies for the company? And the answer was, at least at the beginning of TSMC, it was Taiwan that provided the seed money to Morris Chang to start the company. And it continues to provide subsidies to TSMC's operations in order to keep it a healthy enterprise. Singapore tried doing the same thing and it failed. It's not so much that, you know, holding hostage, but it's really tending to the needs of strategic industries, which is part of industrial policy all over the world. And the Dutch government happens to have in its midst a huge and very important company that is part of the tech infrastructure globally.
Fair enough. You've been listening to The Chat Lounge. When we come back, more on where ASML could expand to.
Sideline Story brings you all things sports related. The hottest topics, latest events, juiciest stories, all with a very personal take. Subscribe to Sideline Story Podcast for heated sports discussions covering events that are happening in China and around the world.
Welcome back to The Chat Lounge. We're talking about the likelihood of ASML's Dutch exodus. Then let's move on to where ASML may relocate or expand its business to. ASML CEO Peter Wennink, as reported by The Guardian, has said if the company cannot get enough qualified people in the Netherlands, it will get those people in Eastern Europe or Asia or in the United States. So does that mean ASML may move its operations to those regions or prioritize those places for business expansion at least? George?
Well, to start with, there is currently no government in the Netherlands, right? So this is important to bear in mind. There are deliberations which are taking place. And Geert Wilders, the winner of the election, announced yesterday that he would not seek the job of the prime minister any longer, because it is impossible for him to find and build a coalition government.
Mm.
Right. So this means that possibly a technocratic government could be formed in the Netherlands. So this is an important parameter that we need to bear in mind. So having said that, it's too early to discuss whether the Dutch company will seek another place in another country, because this will depend on the future course of negotiations with a government which do not know its nature, its political nature as yet. Anyway, definitely it's part of the media agenda to what extent the company will look for a potential solution in another part of the world. France, for example, is part of the media agenda as a potential destination, because the business environment in France with President Emmanuel Macron is much more friendly.
Mm.
But at the same time, if we are looking at the political direction in French domestic politics, it is not similar to that of the Netherlands, but it has a trend of becoming close to the tendency of the Netherlands as far as immigration policies are concerned. Far-right parties in France, for example, are on the rise. The next presidential election will take place in 3 years. So again, the discussion revolves around the main issues concerning migration and policies as far as foreign workers are concerned. Again, I think it's too early to speculate about a potential change in the headquarters of the company, which is anyway a multinational company with factories also in the United States and with business all across the globe.
Mm, obviously, our discussion today is being conducted under the prerequisite or condition that there is a possibility that ASML is moving out of its home country. So to Dr. Chu, from your perspective, some people are saying that China might be on the list as a option. Do you see that possibility?
I don't think there is any possibility of that, because I never doubted ASML, probably used to have just a one shred line of thinking about that. But judging from the current backdrop of the international community, I don't think for them moving to China is very practical, because right now China has been a trade conflict, especially in the regard of the technology, the chips. So I don't think ASML would want to face such kind of a challenge to move into China. But if they do consider that, well, I just want pass on one word to them. Well, you can have some thoughts on that, because China really have a very open policy towards the tech immigration. I think in this point, China and America, Singapore are very much alike. For example, Huawei, Huawei made the first breakthrough on the 5G technology, because Huawei truly understand that the algorithm is a key, because you want to hype your frequency when you try to, improve the efficiency of your communication on the signals. So they find out one talented young man in Russia, very good at mathematicians. They probably got some, some tricks on the algorithm. So they hired them for sure. And the Shenzhen local government provided them many of the convenience. If a company like Huawei, they say, okay, I want to hire someone from abroad because they have some unique strong suit technology that we need. And then they will provide them like working visa. And also they will give the big companies like Huawei, like BYD, a special designated land with low price, so that it will keep this big company away from the city center. So the land price, it wouldn't be affected. So normal people wouldn't be affected. The house price wouldn't be affected.
Mm.
So they use, the government is very trying to work very hard so they can balance the demand of developed technology and also the demand of ordinary people's life. So I think Chinese government have this can-do attitude. Singapore is doing also very well. They're trying many ways to subsidize local people's like their housing. So they have the public housing plans, so then ordinary people wouldn't be affected by the high-income, high-tech company. America, I think they're doing also very well in the Bay Area. They also have similar policies. And also besides that, the visa policies in Singapore and China are also very well, as I mentioned. America, they used to do very well, but in the current years, they probably tightened up their policies on H-1B-1. But I think still, they are still doing well. So I think if ASML want to choose somewhere else to move, I think, well, probably America, Singapore, or European Union, some city in there can be the choice. But China, well, I hope then they'll keep this choice on their paper.
But its fellow semicon supplier KMWE, which is a key upstream supplier for ASML, has announced plans to open a plant in Jiangsu province to circumvent this export restrictions. And its fellow equipment manufacturer NTS has also had a subsidiary in China for some time already. After all, the Chinese market is the world's largest consumer of semiconductors, right?
Yes. What makes it? As for a multinational, I think their pure goal is efficiency and healthy return from their shareholder and the stakeholder. That's for sure. I would say a multinational would be a fool to ignore Chinese market. So right. I think one of the reasonable practices is that getting close to one of the largest team of engineers and high-tech students, and also getting close to the largest high-tech market, which is China. But we can understand the position of ASML because they're not like the two other companies that you mentioned. They are not just a purely a high-tech company, but also they're like a flag. So the eyes are on them. So if they move to China, they're probably going to face lots of sanctions. It's similar to TikTok. You know, why only TikTok right now have been forced to sell in American market? I don't think it's because TikTok is a social media company, because I think it happens because TikTok is TikTok, one of a kind. So I understand, but still, I hope they can keep China on their option list.
So you're saying that because ASML is a jewel of the crown, and it attracts most attention.
Their tokens are a symbol. They're one of the kind.
Mm. And William, do you agree with that? Or
I think the discussion has been a bit extreme, because we're looking at ASML as a monolithic creature that creates this very, very advanced piece of machinery that Andy did such a good job of describing. I want to remind everyone, especially in the audience, that the semiconductor industry is a big ecosystem of which ASML is part. ASML provides these etching machines, as Andy said earlier. It takes pictures and makes them small. And that's all it does. It takes pictures and makes them small. Mm. And so when the picture designers make a chip design, it's made in a big size so that people can actually understand what's going on. And then they shrink it down to these very small little components that go into your telephone and other equipment. But all the other equipment that's required to make semiconductors is also important. And so there are things called fabs and foundries that take this picture and use it to create molds, and then they create chips out of those molds.
Sure.
So it's ASML, and the kind of picture it reduces, it makes a lot of different machines that reduce different kinds of pictures. So I think China, certainly, I don't think anyone in the United States or Europe would have any problem with ASML selling machines to China that can make pictures smaller. The big controversy is, will they be enabled to sell the most advanced machines that make the pictures down to 2 micron levels and 1 micron levels? China has already successfully developed semiconductors that are in the 7 micron level, and so the picture shrinking machines that ASML produces to produce the 7 nanometer type of picture. I think China already has these machines, and ASML would be very smart to create plants within China to create these kind of machines that China already has possession of or is already using. So I think the movement of ASML into its final markets, or closer to its final markets and its final customers, is a smart strategic move, and it's already doing that. But the question is, where will it move its headquarters? Where will it move its most advanced research labs? And that's, I think, the question that the Dutch are trying to debate right now. Do we want to retain the core of the innovations that come out of ASML, or do we risk losing that? And I think the Dutch government right now is saying we don't want to lose that, because, quite frankly, the Dutch economy has no high-tech industry other than ASML. In fact, all of Europe is trying to create an ecosystem that will allow technology to flourish, as it has in the United States, Silicon Valley, and in South Korea, and in Taiwan. So I think the real issues now would be, how will ASML distribute its production And to what extent will it distribute it to as close to its final customers, which I argued earlier would be very much in Asia, South Korea, Japan, and China.
Mm. I agree that the Dutch government wouldn't want it to go, especially TSMC move its headquarters out. And the CEO of the company also said that they wouldn't move the major operations out of the Netherlands at this moment. But our question is whether it will choose China or the Chinese mainland as some place for its possible expansion. You know, the company obviously is going to expand, right, according to their business plan. So how likely is that, William?
I think it's very likely, especially, as I said earlier, for expanding into China with factories that produce the 7-nanometer level of lithography machines. And China has already purchased those things. And if China's market is expanding large enough, then I'm sure ASML will want to move some of its production closer to its customer base, which is just a standard management 101 kind of decision. So I think expanding out to where the customers are growing the fastest makes sense for any company, including ASML. And I don't think there'll be any problem doing that. The question is, as technology advances and China wants to get the 5, 3, and 2-nanometer lithography machines, will that face difficulties? Will ASML produce those factories in China? And I think that's where the resistance will be coming in. But I think for the mass market, for the kind of stuff that's being used in cell phones and in consumer electronics, that level of production is something that no one has any controversy with.
Really?
And I think that ASML will have no problem moving those types of machines there.
Don't you think it may face some pressure from Washington? You know, things develop step by step. If ASML opens one small plant in China or on the Chinese mainland, that may lead to something bigger.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. If the type of stuff that's being produced is what the U.S. designates as dual use, right? It can have both military and civilian use. Then you will have national security issues being brought up, not just by the United States, but the EU has also said similar things. So it's not just a U.S. position, but it's also a European position, as George could readily talk about, I'm sure. Mm. But I think the dual-use nature of the products is something that has to be decided on a case-by-case basis.
Right, but will the United States tell the Dutch company, since you have the intention to move them, move to the States?
I'm sure they would love it. And whether it's a 7-nanometer machine or a 5-nanometer machine or a 2-nanometer machine, as long as the customer base is moving into the United States, like TSMC, which is a major customer for ASML, it would only make sense for ASML to want to be close to its customers. And wherever its customers go to produce foundries, which are the natural recipients of ASML machines, that's where ASML is going to go. It's part of the ecosystem. As I said earlier, every country doesn't care about one or two companies. It wants to develop an ecosystem that produces high-tech equipment. And ASML is just one component of that ecosystem. But it doesn't make sense for ASML to go into a country that doesn't have any of the rest of the ecosystem and that would be a natural customer for its products. And if the country doesn't have the ecosystem to buy its products, it won't move there. That's just simple economics and simple management.
Also up to who's got the final say, right?
The management has the final say, I think, in all these decisions. But the question is, will management want to battle fight the political battles to convince governments like the European Union and the United States and Japan and South Korea that it wants to move into other parts of the world?
All right.
Other than those locations.
Andy, the likelihood of ASML expanding in China?
Well, I think that, by all indications, ASML would love to expand in China. There are many Chinese enterprises that want to do business with ASML as well. And again, what we see here are these political interventions that are keeping, sovereign nations and autonomous commercial entities from acting in their own best interest. And, this is unfortunate. And how long this can last, I think, is a very real question. And a question that I think many around the world are asking.
The Chat Lounge.
The Chat Lounge unpacks views and opinions on hot issues in a more casual way.
Well, the Dutch government obviously launched a task force called Operation Beethoven to allay ASML's fears. So, George, can you tell us, I don't know, what's behind such a name? Why is Operation Beethoven? What measures do you expect from the Dutch authorities?
Well, to start with, I believe that we should Europeanize the discussion a little bit. Obviously, it is an affair that the Dutch government needs to deal with. But at the same time, it is a European affair because the European Union lags behind in the general debate about semiconductors, and it attempts to take some measures in order to strengthen the chip industry in Europe. And I'm referring to the CHIPS Act, which is the European endeavor in order to strengthen the so-called technological autonomy of the European Union, in order for the European Union to attempt and play a role in that regard at the world level. Obviously, the role of the Netherlands and the Dutch government is important, but as I said before, the discussion also revolves around subsidies, around incentives that can be given to European companies in order to continue having their headquarters in Europe and in order to help the European Union with its effort. So having mentioned that, I believe that it will be a very, very difficult decision for the European Union to allow such an important technological company to leave from the European Union, irrespective of whether it could go in the future. It could be China, it could be the United States, it could be another country, but it will be an important point as far as the European technological strategy is concerned, and it will be a significantly negative development in terms of the effort of the European Union to empower its technological autonomy policy. So within this context, I would say that deliberations will continue not only with the Dutch government, but also with the European Union in order for the company to stay in Europe.
Mm. And Dr. Chi, what's your interpretation here? Do you have any explanation for the name? I'm really curious about the name of the operation.
No, actually, I don't also, I don't either know why they named that program. Mm. I was Beethoven. Well, I think they probably think this is a very complicated operation. They need orchestrated efforts from many sides so they can actually deliver the whole purpose, make it work. So I think that might be the reason, but it's just only my thoughts.
Right. And what measures do you see the Dutch authorities should take to keep ASML inside the country?
Okay. I think for the Dutch government, I think first of all, they need to initiate some public debate or discussion to let people see that the company like ASML is not the problem, but instead they are the key to solve many of the potential problems. I think currently for the Netherlands society, illegal immigrants can be, you know, the problem, you know, making more of the security issues happen in society, providing more of the burdens on taxpayers, of the honest, you know, hardworking Netherlands people. But also the big companies like ASML, they are, you know, very, very important taxpayers supporting the operation, you know, of the whole social system in the Netherlands. So I think this kind of a company need to be protected. And these kind of company really rely on, you know, very talented engineers, you know, just maybe one or two of them can create some miracle of a company. For example, everybody knows NVIDIA is, you know, a real miracle in AI and in the computing science. But the reason why they are so great right now is not because NVIDIA can, you know, make some, you know, the computer chips, but because behind NVIDIA chips, they have, you know, the CUDA system, which is the computing system, a programming system invented by one or two guys when they were still a university students. You know, so the CEO has see that kind of importance. So they hired this, the two graduates into the NVIDIA and created the whole CUDA system. And then after 10 years, they made NVIDIA another great company of the whole world and very important taxpayer for not only the local government, as well as for the United States of America. So I think people need to realize that. And then I think after that, I think a Netherlands government need to work harder to balance, the social concerns. For example, if people are concerning about the job opportunities, people are concerning about the house prices. And I think America, Singapore, China has already provided very matured, solutions toward that kind of, social concerns. They can learn from that and they can do it according to a local reality. So I think by that means people will understand and people will have another opinion.
Mm. Andy, you haven't been talking for quite some time. It's still a suspense whether the far-right party will be the major player in the government. But what would be your suggestions for the new Dutch government if they want to keep the ASML, their major operations or expansions inside the country?
Well, I think this is a very difficult question to answer, and it's almost an existential question because this really goes beyond just economics, because the country has to decide what does it stand for. Mm. So if through whatever their political process they consider legitimate, they say, we actually want to prioritize a certain homogeneity in our population, then they may be willing to make these economic sacrifices, but it may come at a great economic cost as well. I think what can be said about this is that every country should be free to pursue its own path, its own political choices, its own development model. And, my concern about ASML and the Netherlands is that they are not able to act in their own best interest because, for example, we heard just how important Asia is as a market for ASML, and yet there are increasingly severe restrictions against ASML acting in its own best interest and in the best interest of the Netherlands. So I think that what should be done to keep ASML in the Netherlands certainly is a domestic political decision, a very important political decision. But what should not be overlooked as well is the broader impact of such an important company like ASML because of the, we can even say the chokehold that it has on semiconductor production, that this is in a sense a global good. And the company does have, I think, a global responsibility as well that should be part of its considerations.
Can I just add to
what Andy just said? And I love it when Andy provides answers like this because they're really quite deep and insightful and really has a lot of implications. One of the implications that he hasn't quite mentioned yet, and I don't want to beat him to it, is for Europe. Right now, we're talking so much about ASML because it is really the crown jewel of the tech company located in Europe.
Right.
I mean, I don't think any of us can even name another company that is of the stature of ASML. So it really goes to show that the Europeans themselves have to make a decision as to where it wants to be in the tech landscape. Does it want to develop a technological ecosystem to rival that in the United States and in Asia? And if so, it's going to have to build other companies in addition to ASML to provide complementarities for ASML. As I said earlier, no one company represents all of the tech sector, right? It's a whole system of companies and whole ecosystem of companies that are needed. And right now, if the Europeans want to be a prominent player in the tech industry, it's going to have to allow ASML not just to stay in Europe, but also to be complemented with other companies. And that's something that the Europeans have really not been able to do successfully, to build other companies like ASML. And the Dutch can easily retain ASML if the Europeans provided the overall subsidies to the Netherlands to encourage them to build other complementary companies.
You're saying the Europeans, they need synergy, but they don't have it right now.
They have nothing right now, right? I mean, as I said, name another company other than ASML located in Europe.
Well, there's Infineon, there's Zeiss, that are also important parts of the semiconductor value chain. But I agree with you, William. Certainly, in terms of
they're nowhere near the prominence of TSMC, right? Which is ASML's
true. But TSMC or ASML.
Exactly.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, you mentioned TSMC. There's this question whether ASML will, face the same fate as TSMC. Eventually, it will have to move to somewhere
Well, as I said earlier, the model for production these days that TSMC and other tech companies are embarking on is distributed production, production into areas that are close to its customer base. And the United States is a huge customer base. It has a huge ecosystem that is a buyer of a lot of these companies' products. And that's why TSMC, one of the reasons why it's moving closer to its customer base. The Middle East has become a thriving center for technology as well. It's buying products from software from Palantir and its own fab production located there, a global semiconductor. Also is trying to build the tech build itself into a tech hub. So I think right now ASML is facing a management decision as to how to distribute its production. As I said earlier, it wants to retain the innovative parts of it, where the 1 nanometer and the sub 1 nanometer production is retained in the Netherlands, but it can easily distribute the 7 nanometer machine production into China, which already has a lot of these machines, and China represents, I think, a natural market for consumer electronics that will use a lot of the ASML machines that are not at that cutting bleeding edge.
I'd like to jump in here, if I may.
Okay, go ahead, please, Andy.
I'm not completely sure I agree with William on this. I mean, so to use a Tom Friedman phrase, I think what William is saying is the world is flat.
Yeah.
But it actually may be much more spiky, in that when we look at attempts to create semiconductor manufacturing facilities in other parts of the world, you know, they've struggled for different reasons. But some would say that Northeast Asia has some unique advantages in semiconductor manufacturing, including, some would argue, culture, government policies, the vertically integrated government policies to do that. And that this actually might not be so easy to distribute. And the other thing is that semiconductors are relatively small and very, very expensive. So I think this makes transportation costs as a percentage of the total cost less important. Then to go back to ASML, my understanding of ASML is that it's really more like a Boeing, in that it's a systems integrator, and it doesn't necessarily have a lot of core or hard technology itself, although it does have some optics technology that it licenses from an American company, I think, which is what gives the U.S. leverage over ASML. But that it's really more or primarily a system integrator, and that can this then be relocated elsewhere? And perhaps it could and should be. Certainly the future, I think, of technology is in Asia and likely in China. We look at the enormous investments the Chinese government is making. We look at the talent pool of STEM expertise that certainly not next year, but in the next 5-10 plus years, I think a lot of the important breakthroughs, in addition to the manufacturing capability and expertise, is in China. I think of Tim Cook's statement that, you know, when you're looking for these, I think they're process engineers, that in the United States, you'd struggle to fill a classroom full of them. In China, you could fill stadiums with these people. So, you know, again, I think a company like ASML really is in a position that if it is to move aside from these P&L issues and, I guess, talent issues, that strategically being closer to Asia probably makes more sense.
You all outlined some priorities for the company that may be on its agenda, but we don't know what's up on the mind of management. But some analysts say the relocation issue is just talk, and ASML's real purpose is to just force the Dutch government to make concessions and maybe, under the coercion of the U.S., create some bargaining chips. So what would be your evaluation to each of you? Maybe Dr. Chu?
Well, I don't think a relocation will bring ASML, you know, any good. So I think, you know, breaking a deal with another land government probably would be their real goal. And moving to another nation would mean, you know, a totally brand new questions and, you know, challenges for this company, visas, the taxation policies and negotiation and the land policies redealing the relations with local residents and also the shareholders and stakeholders. A lot of things to be answered for. So I think a break a deal with the Netherlands government can be the best that they can achieve. And I think they can probably, do it eventually.
Mm. All right. William?
I think it's more of a European issue. I think that the bargaining is the leverage they're trying to apply is not to the Dutch government, but to the European Union itself, and to really have the European Union provide more subsidies to the sector as a whole. As I said, the Infineons and the Siemens and the companies that are there are really small players in the tech world, and ASML sees that its future is at the bleeding edge of technology, and there are no natural European customers. And I think that's where I think the ASML is doing a social something for more than just profit and loss, but rather meeting a social objective of pushing the European Union or dragging it into the 21st and 22nd century technology.
Mm. And George?
Well, I agree with William. I would, as I said before, we need to carefully look at the European policies in order for the European Union to play a role in the technological sphere. We should not underestimate Europe. Europe now lags behind, but it has announced policies in order to be able and play a role in the future. So the European Chips Act needs to be carefully studied in that regard. And if subsidies are to be given, then I'm optimistic about the potential decision and determination of the Dutch company to stay in Europe.
Right, fair enough. And last but not least, Andy, please.
Well, I think looked at narrowly, ASML, as we've heard during this discussion, has a very strong hand and, maybe is more likely than not to get its way and would stay in the Netherlands. But looked at more strategically, just as we look at individuals with some sort of technological breakthrough in Europe, they tend historically to go to Silicon Valley because that's where the deepest pools of capital, the best expertise, et cetera, the most attractive markets are. That similarly, we're seeing that is increasingly becoming Asia and China. So if we think about it, again, more generally, not just what is ASML going to do about these particular issues, but where should it be to best prosper in the long run? It's hard to see how that answer is not in Asia.
Right. And that's really an interesting event to follow. But we'll have to wait and see what's coming out of the bargain, I would say, between TSML and the Dutch government. Maybe we'll have another session when the dust settles down. With that, we've come to the end of today's chat. Many thanks to Andy Mok, Senior Research Fellow at the Center for China and Globalization, Dr. George Zogopoulos, Director of EU-China Programs and Senior Research Fellow at the European Institute of Nice, William Lee, Chief Economist at the US-based Milken Institute, and Dr. Qu Chang, Fellow of Belt and Road Research Center, Minzu University of China, for sharing your insightful views here. The show is available on all major podcast platforms. If you have anything to say about the topic or the show, please email radio@cgtn.com. I'm Tu Yun. Thank you for listening. We'll have more chat next week.
Once upon a time, in a land not so very far away. Stories were told of the brave and the bold.
The whole court fell silent to hear what the great warrior Mulan might ask for.
Of mighty deities and powerful immortals.
Immediately, the shimmering skin started to grow before his eyes.
Of fated love. And love sanctified.
In dawn's golden light, Niu Lang said,
"Marry me."
Of great journeys across fantastical landscapes.
So the cat and the mouse climbed on the dog's back, and the dog swam across the broad river.
In the company of friends and enemies and unimagined beasts.
Good to see you.
Of ordinary folk with tantalizing stories to tell. Heroes and heroines all.
It's incredible. How did you do that?
Tales of sad sacrifice and victories snatched from the jaws of defeat. Stories of the wise, the accomplished, and the quick of mind. 5,000 years of amazing Chinese folk tales. You'll find Chinese Folk Tales Season 3 wherever you discover your favorite podcasts.